Dessou for Tyrese Hunter, who will hang on to it as the clock expires. So Texas withstands the run at home and gets a huge win. They improve to 17-9, 6-7 in the conference. On the other side, the Wildcats go to 15-11 and 5-8 in the conference.
Another blow to K-State's dwindling chances of making the NCAA tournament. It does look more and more likely that they will have to win the Big 12 tournament to automatically qualify for the Big Dance this year. K-State men lose on the road at Texas last night. Since they beat KU, we asked the question right after they beat KU the very following morning on this show. Is this going to be their Super Bowl and they're going to flounder? Or are they going to build on this and turn it into something positive and could build something to where they can make a run? And the answer is that was their Super Bowl.
Which is what I anticipated.
Which most people would have said that's the case. And that's exactly what happened. West Virginia beat Kansas, and they haven't been the same since they beat Kansas. Still hard to believe they beat Kansas at home.
Yeah.
It's not like Central Florida setting the world on fire after they beat Kansas. So sometimes this is what happens. You beat Kansas, or you get that big marquee victory. Maybe it's Houston, too, but Kansas over the years. And I don't want to say you're satisfied, but it's kind of like that's our highlight of the year. And that's why Kansas fans say, we're your highlight of the year, but we're not worried about that being our highlight because we're worried about playing in March and maybe even April. Mm-hmm. And it does make some sense, no doubt. But K-State certainly up against it if they're going to make the NCAA tournament, and they needed to win last night, and they did not. We'll talk more about that coming up in just a little bit. And we'll look at the Chiefs and their pending free agents. We'll hear from many high school coaches coming up in just a little bit as we preview high school basketball. And that's where we begin here on The Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. And by the way, Dusty, Dakota Kattenberg's birthday is today.
Oh, nice.
And it's senior night. I would imagine senior night at Smith Center tonight because it's the last regular season home game. So kind of a two-for-one special.
Yeah.
Celebrate. Everybody's there to celebrate Dakota's birthday and the seniors and whatever the case may be. So we'll talk more about that coming in a little bit. But Dusty, there's some basketball last night.
Yeah, this one makeup game, Concordia sweeping Chapman on the road. Concordia girls won 54-51, and the Concordia boys won 54-40 last night. So that's what happened as far as that was concerned. We'll run through the schedule for tonight's games, and then, like Wade said, we'll preview those here. High school hoops tonight on Katy Country 94, the Beloit Trojan Channel. Beloit is at Smith Center here this evening, and then on Z96 Point through the Lake, I'll be in Mankato with Rock Hills hosting Osborne. And also, it's the final night of the regular season for most of these teams that we'll be talking about, and all the teams that are playing in 1A in the Northern Plains League. Lakeside's at Sylvan Lucas tonight, St. John's Tipton at Lincoln, Thunder Ridge is at Pike Valley, Southern Cloud hosting Natoma, and also in the NCKL tonight, Clay Center is at Concordia. You can find the full schedule for the local teams at ncksports.com.
All right. Tonight on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com, live video stream, ncksports.com, the Beloit Trojan Channel. Beloit is on the road at Smith Center for the final game of the regular season. The Beloit girls had a 7-game winning streak snapped on Friday, falling to Minneapolis 38-37. The Beloit girls did not have a field goal the final 5 minutes and 20 seconds, just one free throw. So they went cold at a bad time. Cost them outright league championship, may have cost them a home game in the first round of sub-state. That's still to be determined, but they had been playing great basketball. They'd won 7 in a row prior to that point. So it's a big game for the Blake girls tonight because they are 14-5, and Minneapolis is also 14-5, and they both beat one another on the opposing's home floor. So if Minneapolis beats Ellenwood tonight, Beloit could beat Smith Center tonight, then that would put you in a situation where it's a coin flip as to who's going to be the 4 or the 5 seed for the first round of 3A girls substate coming up next week, which all those brackets officially be released tomorrow. The Smith Center Lady Red are 15-4, and they are ranked 7th in Class 2A, according to the KBCA rankings. They've beaten Beloit 3 times in a row. They're locked into a number 2 seed at the Oakley 2A substate, and the team above them is Hoxie, and Hoxie's 18-1, and their only loss was to Smith Center at Smith Center. So Smith Center has a chance to make it to state yet again in basketball. Of course, we know in volleyball with Coach Lynn, and basketball, it doesn't seem to matter what the sport is. Coach Lynn gets the best out of his teams. There's no question about that. Smith Center struggled recently. The Lady Red, 3 straight losses where they really had a hard time scoring the basketball, but they have rebounded and won their last 2. Sean Arimas, head coach of Beloit Lady Trojans, expects a tussle tonight in Smith Center.
They're very talented. They got a lot of seniors, you know, and so anytime you're playing seniors, it's difficult. But, yeah, they're a very talented group, and so we're going to have to go up there and continue to grind and battle. And playing on their home court's never easy either. Probably senior night for them, I would assume. And so they're going to be playing for a lot as well. But we just want to finish on a high note.
Smith Center always prides himself on pressure. I mean, they force turnovers. They've got multiple players that have averaged 2 to 3 steals per game, if not more. Beloit's handled pressure pretty well in the full court. Where they've had problems is when they've been impatient, forcing the ball inside to their post. When they're patient, they get good things happen. When they get impatient and force it inside, that's when the turnovers tend to happen. Whereas in the past, it was against full court pressure. This year, they've done a better job against it. And they'll have to do a good job against it tonight against Smith Center, who loves to press. Here's Nick Lynn, head coach of Smith Center, on the Beloit girls.
They're vastly improved. They've done a much better job. They are good, you know, and they do a good job of press breaking, and where they in the past maybe struggle in that part of the game. And it's going to be fun to get them in here for our last regular season home game, because it's always going to be always a good game with them.
Should be a good battle. Once again, Smith Center's won the last 3 against Beloit. This should be a great one tonight with the girls' game starting about 5:50 tonight on Katy Country 94 and KatyCountry94.com. Make sure to download the free Katy Country 94 and Z96.3 Lake apps on your smartphones. Boys' game, Beloit will be the favorite. They're number one team in 3A. They're 18-1. They've won 8 in a row. This season, the only loss was to Olathe North, who's ranked in 6A, back in the Orange Black Classic in Colby. And the Beloit boys have also won 11 games on the road. They have an 11-game winning streak on the road tonight at Smith Center. Last road loss they had was at Southeast a year ago. Beloit coming off of completing an undefeated league season after being in Minneapolis on Friday. And they face Smith Center, who's 9-10. Smith Center boys are having their best season since 2011. That was the last time they had a winning season. The Redmen, though, have lost 5 in a row to Beloit, 13 of the last 14 meetings against the Trojans, but they've won their last 2 this season and 6 of the last 8. Ryan Eilert, head coach of the Beloit boys, on his host for Smith Center after the game on Friday against Minnie.
I'd like to see us be a little more cleaner offensively. Defensively, I thought we did a decent job, but offensively, I felt like, we left some points out there with maybe some missed buckets that I'd like to see us clean that up before Tuesday.
Alex Holberman is second year's head coach of Smith Center boys. Done a nice job with his team, as we mentioned, 9-10. And if they could pull off the stunner tonight, they would lock themselves into a home game in the first round sub-state. Looks like there's still a pretty good chance that they will. But here's Holberman on Beloit.
They're an extremely good team and probably the best team we're going to play all year, record-wise at least, looking at scores. We're still going to have to play them and see them on the court, so we're just going to have to do what we do and play our game, and hopefully we can make shots.
Senior night in Smith Center. I'll have the call for you tonight. Girls and boys doubleheader, Beloit at Smith Center, and that will be on Katy Country 94, KatyCountry94.com, live video stream at NCKSSports.com via Beloit Trojan Channel, and I expect birthday cake delivered to the table in honor of Dakota Kattenberg. Just want to throw that out there. Why do I say that? Because I'm hungry right now at 9:19 in the morning, and I have not had breakfast, so cake is good any time of the day. Dusty, you got Osborne and Rock Hills tonight.
Yes, always an interesting showdown here. Northern Plains League matchup. Osborne and Rock Hills finish out the regular season here tonight. Excuse me, in the girls' game, the Lady Dogs are 16-3, 9-1 in the Northern Plains League. They've won 4 in a row, and the Lady Grizzlies have won 5 straight. They enter at 9-8, 6-3 in the league. Rock Hills started their season 1-7, and they're 9-8 now. So they've obviously been able to turn some things around there and going into this matchup here tonight. Osborne coach Jason Wilson looking at his group and getting focused and ready for tonight's game on the girls' side, as he gave his thoughts on the Rock Hills matchup here this evening.
Saw a lot of opportunities of a team that plays zone. They seem to have a lot of length, so, anytime you see that, obviously that could come into play as a factor for us offensively. But the biggest thing, again, is for us is to continue to play at a high level. We seem to be clicking on all cylinders, playing more aggressively defensively in our man-to-man.
Again, Osborne really has turned things around since that loss to St. John's Tipton and kind of learned a little bit more about what they wanted to do, and currently are tied for first place in the Northern Plains League. And it looks like it might end up staying that way with a 3-way tie with Sylvan Lucas Osborne and St. John's Tipton. The Lady Grizzlies on a nice winning streak right now and taking on a tough Osborne team tonight. And their head coach, Nick Meisner, looking at this matchup here this evening and how he feels that his group can hang out with Osborne in this one here tonight.
really good team, quick, good shooters. You know, Reiner's having a heck of a season. You hope you can contain her a little bit as well. Tough ones, but we're at home. Great way to maybe build momentum and kind of build some confidence going to Substate.
Again, Rock Hills did pick up a nice win on Friday, so they're looking to maybe get another one here tonight and pull the upset. Last time these two teams met was in the Substate semis last year in Washington, and you know, Rock Hills almost got a very good Osborne team last year, but obviously Rock Hills and Osborne both different teams this year. We'll see how that one goes tonight. Following the girls' game, Osborne boys are on a 16-game winning streak. They're 18-1 overall, 10-0 in the Northern Plains League. They're ranked number 4 ahead of today's new rankings that will come out in 1A Division 1 from the KBCA. So Osborne, again, has had a lot of success. They will be the MPL champions and looking to wrap up an undefeated league season tonight as well. Rock Hills is 6-11, 4-5. It's been an up and down season for them, but they've made some improvements as they've gone on. Coach Wilson from Osborne, again, on what he'd like to see from his boys in tonight's game against Rock Hills.
Biggest thing for us is limit our turnovers, take care of the basketball, maybe see a little more pressure on the defensive end in the front court, just to put a little more pressure on them, to see our kids getting out and getting deflections that could hopefully lead to easy run outs. Try to set the pace of the game early.
Osborne coming off that win against a highly ranked top 10 1A D1 team in Quinter there on Saturday, so they're feeling good about where they're at right now going into this matchup. As far as Rock Hills, their coach Zach Duffy knows that tonight will be a tough matchup for his squad.
Not super deep, but the 6-7 guys they play are really, really good and really talented. Going to play great man defense and maybe mix in a 1-3-1 zone that's going to be tough too. And obviously on the offensive side for them, Johnny Hamill's a heck of a player and probably a unanimous first team selection there in the league. So that'll be a real good challenge for us.
Yeah, it's Rock Hills hosting Osborne tonight. We'll have girls pregame around 5:50. Tip off at 6. Boys will follow on Z96.3 Through the Lake and KittyCountry94.com. Looking forward to the matchup here this evening in Mankato against the final night of the regular season for these 1A schools and a lot of other schools here in north central Kansas. Again, that's what's on the radio tonight for basketball. We do want to remind everybody also we'll start our high school sports coverage at 5:15 or around there on KittyCountry94 and KittyCountry94.com with our high school wrestling locker room chat. So listening for those. You can always catch those online at KittyCountry94.com on the Locker Room Chat podcast. If you miss them live, we will recap regional wrestling and preview state for some of the area athletes here coming up this week.
Should be pointed out that the games tonight for 1A schools do not count towards substate standings. That's already been determined. Yep. Those substate brackets have been released. We'll have a game for you on Thursday, a game for you on Friday from 1A substate on KittyCountry94 and KittyCountry94.com. All the other classifications games tonight do count towards substate standings, and the substate the actual brackets shall come out at some point from the Kansas State High School Activity Association tomorrow. Once we get those, we'll post them and let everybody know when and where everybody plays in our area. As we open the show, another Big 12 loss for K-State. They lost last night in Austin, Texas, down 27-22 at halftime. They battled back. They cut it to 6, 62-56, but the Wildcats end up losing it. They have lost 7 of the last 8. They're 15-11, 5-8 in the Big 12 with a loss. Arthur Kaluma led the way with 17 points. Anything you want to say about K-State's loss to Texas?
Not a lot. It was kind of the same deal, right? Like you get down and then you try to make this surge at the end of the game and it doesn't work out for you in the end. They couldn't overcome it. So no, it wasn't anything that I didn't expect last night, to be honest with you.
So the K-State men will have BYU, I think, coming up on Saturday, yeah. Which I may take my youngest to that one. I think tickets will be available for that one. And then the game of the night in the Big 12 last night was number 6 Iowa State at number 2 Houston for sole possession, first place in the Big 12. And Houston jumped all over Iowa State early, 19-6, but Iowa State battled all the way back to within 3 in the second half. But Jamal Shedd was a stud. He had 26-20 in the second half. Houston 23-3, 10-3 in the Big 12. Iowa State now a game back, 20-6 overall, 9-4 in the Big 12. Tonight in Big 12 action, 3 games on the slate. West Virginia hosts Central Florida at 6 and 8 o'clock tonight. Number 11 Baylor is at number 25 BYU, and number 23 Texas Tech hosts TCU. Coming up in 30 seconds, we have a Daytona 500 winner crowned, plus the Chiefs. How do they approach their offseason looking to three-peat? How do they address the free agents that they have on their team? We'll discuss that coming up on The Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit.
I'm Elijah at Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. You depend on your vehicle every day to get you where you need to go. The best way to keep it ready and avoid breakdowns is through proper maintenance. Whether it's oil, fluids, filters, spark plugs, belts, hoses, or brakes, we can help. Give yourself the peace of mind of knowing your vehicle is ready to go. For fast, friendly vehicle maintenance, call Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. Find us just south of the courthouse or on the web at kieferbrothers.com.
One lap to go, sponsored by Credit One Bank, and away they go. That is Cindric into Chastain and up into traffic.
Did the leader get the white flag?
This caution waving.
It's going to be close.
And the Daytona 500.
Race winner will be the 24. We'll need the 24 to start finish line.
Goes to victory lane, William Byron.
William Byron with his first ever Daytona 500 win, so he is atop the standings after the win to kick off the season. They'll get ready for Atlanta for the second race of the season coming up on Sunday. Of course, weather delayed all of this to where they raced it yesterday, and here is Byron on his first Daytona 500 victory.
This is incredible. I had a much different background than, you know, anybody in the sport growing up racing on iRacing on the computer, and to make it to the Daytona 500 and win the race is pretty amazing. So it's I'm just so thankful. I got a great team, and Exalta, Chevrolet, everybody. This is incredible, man. Honestly, it hasn't really sunk in.
Yeah, NASCAR, I mean, they have some young blood. There's no doubt. There's been the turnover here in the last few years with some of those names that you're used to seeing, some guys retiring, stepping aside, whether it's health reasons or just simply retiring, and get some of these young and up-and-comers. And Byron gets the win at the Daytona 500 yesterday. The Brooklyn Nets have fired head coach Jacques Vaughn, a former KU star. The team announced that yesterday morning. Kevin Ollie, the former UConn head coach, is now the interim head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. Nets are 21-33, falling out of the top 10 in the Eastern Conference. 28 games left on their regular season schedule. A couple things before we talk about the Chiefs. I know this just will go off a little bit differently here, but a couple of things. Have you ever been looking at something on your phone, or you're talking about a particular item or business, and within seconds, that business pops up on your television? For instance, last night I was looking at some furniture online. I won't say the name of the business, but I was on this website, and there was a banner ad right on the site for their special sale. Within 10 seconds, I kid you not, I looked up at the TV and boom, TV ad came on for that furniture store. My wife says, wow, what a coincidence. I said, is it? Has that happened to you?
I've not had the TV thing happen. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had maybe if I say something about it, a certain business or something, it shows up on my feed on social media like a minute or two later.
I don't know how many times I talk about whether it's a song or an artist or talking about a business or a client of ours, and then within 30 seconds I hear their ad on our radio station.
Yeah, that happens a lot. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be talking to somebody about something, or I'll maybe even
listen. I think it's obvious. There's cameras recording every move, and they know how to hit a button. Hey, there's the Gerstner house. How do they know what I'm looking at on my phone? That's a separate device, and then somehow get to go on my TV. I don't underestimate anything nowadays. I mean, let me go ahead and jump in with all the conspiracy theorists out there. So my youngest. We're going to talk Chiefs football in a moment, so this does tie in a little bit. So my 10-year-old, he's a fourth grader, and he is kind of a spitting image of me in a way. I mean, he has all the freckles. He has more hair than me, as he always reminds me. He calls me bald. I have a bald spot. I'm not bald. And
Tate to hear what he'd call me then.
Yeah, or actual bald person. So I raised him right, didn't I? So he got me into playing Madden, video game. Madden 2023, 2024, whatever. My oldest son is really good at it. Now, he's not as good as some people, even on his basketball team, from what I understand. But he's way better than me. Of course, when you spend hours upon hours of time over the years playing this game, you should be awesome. And when I played him once and he killed me, I was like, oh, that's okay. I said, I could be good at this if I dedicated myself to this, but I have better things to do with my life at the age of 48. So I don't even play him. It's like, no. Now, recently, him and I are on the same team. I'm playing my youngest. And my oldest was the quarterback, and I just basically stayed out of the way on offense, made about five tackles on defense, and celebrated every one of them. So anyway, my youngest and I, and I'm learning to play the game a little bit better, and he put it on a level to where I had an easier level than he did when we played each other.
Uh-huh.
Well, then I was smoking him. So then it's like, wait a minute, this has got to be even. So he made it even. And when it went even, I won one or two early on, and then all of a sudden I lost like three in a row. And the last one, I got beat pretty good. Now, let me tell you something. When you're 48, you don't like losing at anything to a 10-year-old, no matter if it's your kid or not. But it's bad when you get your butts pulverized, even in a video game, that he played way more than I have. And so, anyway, he has recreated the NFL playoff bracket for this year. He cuts out the little logos. He's got the whole thing printed out off the computer. He then, and so we go one by one. We started with the wild card rounds, and we go one by one. And so in the AFC, I get to pick which team I want. So obviously, Chiefs, Dolphins, I pick Chiefs, okay?
Yeah.
And he picks the team that he wants, and so he picked the he's picked the Eagles against the Bucks, okay? Whatever. And so the other day, we were into the second round or whatever, and I was the Ravens and he was the Browns. And I had a couple things not go my way. I wasn't pleased about it. I am competitive. And he is too, and so is my oldest. It's funny to hear them react. And I remember how I was when I played video games. And like my mom, what's going on up there? I'm like, I'm so mad. You know, you want to throw the controller. You always blame it on the buttons, the controller, the batteries. It's never you, right? Kind of like your golf game. It had to be the wind. There is no wind. There was a slight breeze. It came up right when I hit the ball off the tee from the women's tee boxes. That's an inside joke. There is no such thing. It's the beginner tee boxes or whatever you want to call it. Front tee boxes. But anyway, so we got into the it was Browns versus Ravens is where we were at. And because he was the, I think I was the Browns and I beat him. He had the Texans. And that was with 2023 Madden. Then we upgraded to 2024 Madden. And he's like, darn it, why would I have CJ Stroud on that one instead of Davis Mills? I'm like, no wonder the Texans lost.
Yeah.
So Browns, Ravens, he ended up being the Browns. I chose the Ravens. I got Lamar Jackson. I'm feeling pretty good. And just like Lamar did in real life, Lamar stunk for me in the playoffs. And anyway, he went to a knee with 50 seconds to go, and he was up 10. I think it was 24 to 14. So I'm like, whatever, I'm out of here. So I just put the controller on the couch, and I walk upstairs, go get a snack or whatever it was, get a drink. And all of a sudden, I hear my 10-year-old come up the stairs laughing. Dad, you got to come see this. I'm like, what? And he just starts this evil chuckle. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? I go downstairs. Okay, he had taken a knee, but then once I walked off, he took both controllers, and when it was my ball, when I had already given up, he, and the game was over, he took a knee, so I thought that was the white flag, we could officially call it good. What he did was he pitched the ball on purpose on kickoffs, he recovered it, would score. He scored 36 points in 50 seconds and says, I beat you 60 to 14. And I said, son, do you know what you have just done? You have poked the bear. I said, this means war. I said, I am going to, this over the weekend, I said, I am going to the wellness center, and I am going to ride the bike, and I am going to pull up everything possible to learn these stupid buttons that I still don't know what they all do for Madden 2024, and I will come back with a vengeance. So guess what he does about an hour later? He's the one trying to look up more stuff to get better at Madden, so forth and so on. And I told him, dude, I this is war. This is Madden NFL war. I said, you have poked the bear. This ain't cool. So last night, we're playing a playoff game, and I'm the Cowboys, which he chose the Eagles, so I stuck with the Cowboys. I'm not a big Cowboy fan. And they're not America's team anymore, so stop it. It's like saying baseball is America's pastime. Yeah, it is. Past its time. It's not the pastime anymore. Is it a nice sport? You bet. NFL football rules the world. Everybody knows this. So, except for soccer across the world. But in the United States, it's football. Real, like, football. Not football, but football. So, anyway, playing the Eagles and the Cowboys. And last night, I'm up 14-0, and he makes it 14-6. And then I pulled a Dan Campbell. I had fourth and goal at the one right before halftime, fourth and goal from the two or the three before halftime. And I decided to throw a pass, and it got incomplete. So I didn't score. And I'm like, uh-oh. Should have kicked the field goal. Darn Dan Campbell. Watched too much Lions football this year. So he ends up tying the game. Then he takes the lead 21-14. And then there's about 3 minutes on the clock, about 4 minutes on the clock. And I go down, and I score a touchdown. I'm like, should I Dan Campbell again and go for two? Because I'm down one, 21-20. Yeah. I decide to kick the extra point. So I tie the game. So I get a stop, and he has a tremendous punt. He inside the five. I'm like, oh, dear Lord. You know, if I run the ball, he might tackle me for a loss. I don't want to get a safety, lose the game. I can't really run out the clock here. He had some timeouts. So I end up picking up a first down, and then eventually I get a couple big plays. And so now I'm at his 38-yard line, and there's 2 seconds left on the clock because I had an incomplete pass to get a few yards to get in field goal range, but I already was in field goal range. So Dusty had a 55-yard field goal, baby, to win the game. I have never kicked a long field goal in Madden my entire life. Never. To win the game, to avoid overtime and pull a Kyle Shanahan and mess up on who takes the ball first. This is the playoffs. The winner moves on. The loser is done. This is a 48-year-old man versus his 10-year-old son. There's nothing more American than that. And I kick it, and I'm like, oh, no, I missed it to the right. And it's going to the right, and I'm expecting it to hit the upright and doink off or just miss to the right. And I'm thinking overtime, 55-yarder. And the kick, it claims it went through. I'm like, I won! And my 10-year-old is just not very happy. He's like, I don't think that went through. I'm like, dude, it went through. It's good. Sour grapes, loser. Eagles go home. Cowboys move on. So I'm laughing hysterically. I'm like, I told you this was war. And I made a 55-yard field goal. My oldest son, he's in his room, and he heard me and everything. I come over, I tell him what happened. He just starts laughing because he loves when his younger brother gets all riled up. He knows how to poke the bear there, too.
Older brothers always can figure out how to do that.
You know that from experience. So anyway, I go upstairs, and my 10-year-old goes to the instant replay button. He's like, that wasn't good, Dad. I'm like, it is. They counted it. He shows the replay, and he freezes it, and the football that my kicker kicked from 55 yards out to win the game, which was good, it literally went through the upright. It literally went through it. It wasn't inside it, wasn't outside of it, didn't doink. It literally went right through, and I said, that's what you get when you have the most powerful leg in football in Brandon Aubrey. It went right through the right upright, and he's like, And my oldest son just laughing. He's like, oh, that's so funny. And my youngest is like, how can they let this happen? I'm like, that's called karma, son. When you run up a score in a playoff game as you did the other day, it's going 36 points in 50 seconds when I went upstairs. This is called karma. I wanted to say something else afterwards, but it would have been inappropriate. So I won with a kick that actually literally went through the upright. The replay proves it. So is it... could it be protested? Yes. Could it be appealed? Yes. Will it be overturned? No. Cowboys move on. So that's my life last night before he went to bed.
Yeah.
Send him home or send him to bed unhappy.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the I will win Father of the Year someday, but it won't be from yesterday, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So now we talk about real football, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, these are the key free agents the Chiefs have to worry about this offseason. I think a lot of Chiefs fans aren't aware of how many guys they have to deal with. Everybody's focused on Snead and Jones, rightfully so. But here's the list. Chris Jones, Legarius Snead, Donovan Smith, your left tackle, Willie Gay, Derek Nnadi, Jerick McKinnon, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, so that's your two backup running backs, Mike Edwards, safety, Mecole Hardman, your punter, Tommy Townsend, defensive end Mike Dana, guard Nick Allegretti, who played with a torn UCL. You see that? Uh-huh. I saw when he got hurt laying on the ground in the second quarter of the Super Bowl, he popped his elbow. I mean, and he kept playing through it, which was big because he had no Joe Tooney.
Oh, sure.
And then Drew Tranquil is a free agent as well, and he was huge for the Chiefs this year. Of all the pickups that Brett Veach made, that was probably the biggest one.
Oh, yeah.
Because Bolton went down with a broken wrist, and then Gay missed some time, and so forth and so on. So I'm going to go through each one of these, and I'm going to work my way back up to the top of the list, okay? And you tell me if the Chiefs need to re-sign one by one. They need to re-sign these guys or keep them, or they're okay, they can move on, and they'll be just fine without them, okay? And what I mean by that is maybe you think there's certain people in the draft they can maybe draft to replace. Of course, you only have so many picks. And, of course, I know you and I don't have the complete list of the free agents to be. Of course, free agents to be, you don't know how much money they're going to cost. And these are the Chiefs' in-house free agents right now. Okay, so we'll go one by one here and about, you know, is this a guy that you would prioritize to bring back, I guess, that would make sense? And, like, which of these free agents are more important than the others? And this is your opinion. This is my opinion. You can play along at home if you're a Chiefs fan. There is no correct or incorrect answer. I could make a case. Dusty can make a case to support their argument that these, because they're not going to re-sign all of them. They won't be doing that. Trust me. I can tell you one that I'm pretty sure they're not going to re-sign, and there are some Chiefs fans saying we have to re-sign him, and I think you're wrong. But so, and you know, we went back. You know, the Royals back in 15, they won the World Series, and we said on this very show, if you have to pick between Alex Gordon and Ben Zobrist, then we knew the Royals couldn't afford both.
Yeah.
And we said immediately, you re-sign Ben Zobrist. He gives you more flexibility, play different positions, so forth and so on. Well, yeah, but he's not a long-term Royal. We're like, Gordon's a declining player. And the Royals gave Gordon the contract, and how'd that work out?
Not great.
He did get inducted into the College Baseball Hall of Fame the other day, did Alex Gordon. Well-deserved.
Very well-deserved.
And he's going to be in the Royals Hall of Fame. Well-deserved.
Yeah.
But at that time of his career, Zobrist would have been the better play. We said that. We, I think, were proven to be probably right on that one. So let's start with this. Drew Tranquil.
Yeah, if you can get him a similar deal, I think you got to get him.
If you had to choose
between... Because I think there's going to be an issue moving forward with a guy that we're going to talk about in a little bit.
Well, let me go ahead and jump to that one. So you have two linebackers there, free agents. You have Willie Gay and Drew Tranquil. Willie Gay was a starter along with Nick Bolton. Tranquil could have started for a lot of teams in the league. He was insurance. And then, of course, when Bolton got hurt, he did great. When he came in, when Gay was hurt and Bolton came back, he was great. And odds are you're not going to re-sign both of these guys. So which one of these two would you rather sign? Drew Tranquil or Willie Gay?
Would I rather Willie Gay?
Now, see, I will.
Based on what it's going to take to sign him,
yeah,
Drew Tranquil.
Yeah, see, I would go with Tranquil either way, because Willie Gay's a fine player. He's athletic and all, but I you know, Tranquil's not that old, by the way. So I'm okay either way with Tranquil. I think he has a little bit more versatility because he can play like a safety type of position. I think he has more versatility. That's what I think. And I think he will be cheaper, which is part of the equation, too. So I'm with you. I think Willie Gay even said it before the Super Bowl, or before the last home playoff game, that this is, he goes, probably my last game at Arrowhead.
Yeah.
So Willie Gay knows the writing on the wall. So I'd be surprised, unless they don't re-sign Tranquil and Gay's willing to take a little bit of a discount. I don't think Willie Gay's back. I think Tranquil will be the target for the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. So we both agree Tranquil would be the better choice here. Because he's probably
for
cheaper.
For everything that's involved in it, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we agree on that. Nick Allegretti, coming off a torn UCL, it might actually help the Chiefs in regards to hurt his price a little bit. He'd be a backup lineman. He got plenty of starters at the line, except left tackle, which we'll get to in a moment.
Yeah, I don't think Nick Allegretti's going to break your bank either way, so I feel like it's somebody that they should probably go after and keep if they can make it work. I would want them to anyway.
I agree with you. Willie Gay's 26, Tranquil's 28. So everybody thinks Gay's so much younger. He is a couple years, but not as much as people think. Okay, so Allegretti, yeah, I agree with you, and I think he'd want to come back.
Uh-huh.
So, but he is, and I've said this during the year even, that he's a good backup that can play either guard position or center. He gives you versatility on the interior of the line. Mike Dana.
I love that guy. I want him.
See, I walk.
But I don't.
I got Felix. I invested a first-round pick in Felix. That's the guy that's going to take Dana's spot. I saved money there. I got to cut corners somewhere.
Yeah.
And he trailed off towards the end of the year. I know he's improved. He's not a star player. He's not a dominant player. I think that one, to me, is very easy. You let him walk. That's my opinion.
Yeah, with Felix there, yeah. I mean, that's the goal is to have him be playing.
I don't understand keeping Dana over other guys on this list. that if you kept Dana and that risk not getting a few of these other guys, I think it would be silly when you drafted Felix. Now, to me, if you re-sign Dana and you let another guy go that we think is important to keep, and you lose another player, one of these free agents, at the expense of re-signing Mike Dana, tells me the Chiefs are admitting that they're not feeling good about Felix as a first-round draft pick. I think that'd be a bad message to hear.
Yeah, and I don't think that's the way they feel right now
right.
either.
So that's why I think Dana walks.
Yep.
Or signs with somebody else. Punter, Tommy Townsend, who punted very well this year.
This is a tough one because he's going to make some money probably. Mm-hmm. And
he's a great passer of the football on fake punts.
I just think it...
Good holder, saved the bacon with the Butker 57-yarder. You know, that play was overlooked as well. That line drive kick that almost was blocked, 57 yards. But not only that, Townsend with an unbelievable catch and hold to get it down.
I think you got to go get him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, keep him here. I know it's probably going to cost you more money than what you want, but he's meant quite a bit. And especially if you're worried about your offense again at any point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a weapon to have, like you said, as a holder and a punter who can, you know, pin teams back and use your defense that is good to keep the – I think they should keep him.
Depends on the price, obviously.
Obviously, the price is going to
– But I lean towards your line of thinking there as well. Mecole Hardman –
I ain't worried about Mecole Hardman.
I know you're not worried about him, but I think he will be a very affordable insurance policy. I think he wants to stay in Kansas City. He knows what happened when he went somewhere else.
Yeah.
I think the Chiefs can get him pretty cheap. And if you're going to eventually walk from – I see, I don't think they're going to give up on Sky Moore after 2 years. They might walk on Tony. If they walk on Tony, then there's more of a reason to have Hardman on this team. I think Hardman – I agree with you. I'm not worried about whether he's on the team or not. It's not going to make or break this team. But if I had to predict, I would predict that Tranquil and Townsend and Allegretti – or excuse me, let me repeat this. I think Tranquil, Allegretti, and Hardman will be a Chief next year.
Yeah, and I'm with you. If it's a team-friendly deal, then it's going to be kind of like what we saw with DeMarcus Robinson for so long. Right?
Well, it's going to be a team-friendly deal, or the Chiefs aren't going to do it.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I said I'm not worried about it, because I know that Veach will make the decision that's best for the team on that one. Like, I'm not that's not going to be one that's going to make or break this offseason for the Chiefs.
I've said all along, in Veach, I trust him, and the guy's done a wonderful job. Mike Edwards, safety, you know, listen, they've got some they like Connor a lot. You got Cook coming back healthy. They could probably find another safety in the draft. I think that's a guy that nice veteran presence, but unless he's on some team friendly deal, I would walk from him.
Absolutely.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire. See, the interesting thing here is Jerick McKinnon's another year older. He had some injuries. He's, you know, close to the end of his career. I like him though. I would like to have him back. I think McKinnon will be back on a cheap deal, honestly. If he's back, then Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a little bit expendable, but he did some good things late in the season. I walk, but
I'm not prioritizing Clyde Edwards-Helaire at all.
Are you prioritizing McKinnon?
I'm not prioritizing any running back other than Isaiah Pacheco right now in my mind, right?
Like, which would mean that you're short two running backs.
Yeah. I know that
they got the P. Ryan kid.
I think one of those guys is going to end up re-signing with the Chiefs.
Right,
but as for me, I'm not like, got to go get one of those two guys.
I agree. Derek Nnadi, he's been a pretty solid run stopper, but Mike Pinnell looked pretty good there in the Super Bowl. I think he's a guy that they had for a while. They drafted him. They developed him. He's been a solid NFL player, I think, for 6 years. But, you know, if he's affordable, you know, once again, team-friendly deal, sure. But I'm not. That's not a big priority for me.
I agree with that.
Willie Gay, we already talked about. Donovan Smith was on a one-year incentive-laden deal. I wouldn't think he'd be that expensive to keep another year if you want to bridge another year, because I think the plan to me, I think, is Wanya Morris, a left tackle. So here's the question now. This is where we get into the bigger serious discussions, because you can save some money if you can go with Wanya Morris, your rookie out of Oklahoma, at left tackle. And he did some good things when he filled in for Smith for a few weeks. you've got $20 million a year tied up in your right tackle is Juwan Taylor. Now, maybe they'd move Taylor. There was talk that, you know, after 1 year, Taylor will move the left tackle and then Wanya Morris be your right tackle. I don't know. I think they want to keep Taylor at right tackle. So is it, I guess the question for In Veach We Trust is, do you feel comfortable with Wanya Morris being your starting left tackle next season? And if you do, and you can draft some, you know, you can have a little insurance. Allegretti's insurance at guard and center, but he's not a tackle. Then you can not worry about Donovan Smith, and you're going to save some money at left tackle that you can put in other positions. And that's what I think the Chiefs would love to see. However, if they're not fully sold on Wanya Morris being ready right away, and Donovan Smith is a cheap, decent option, I don't think the Chiefs are going to rule it out. I think a lot of people just automatically say Donovan Smith's not going to be part of this team next year. But if Donovan Smith, what was it? He had a 1 year, $3 million deal. Incentives could push it to, what was it, 7, 8, or 9 or whatever it was. I don't know how much of that he hit. But, you know, to me, if Donovan Smith's available on a similar deal, depends on, of course, the cap and where they're going with all these other guys. That's what makes this discussion very difficult to have. I could see him being back. I don't think he will be. But I could see a scenario where he would be back and kind of bridges the gap and buys Morris a little bit more time. And then eventually Morris is your starter and Smith is a, you know, serviceable backup, and then you let him walk after next season. I think if I had to predict right now, I'd say he won't be on the team, but I do see a scenario where he could be.
I mean, I agree with what you're saying there. I'd like to see somebody else over there, to be honest with you.
Wanya Morris would be the guy you want.
Yeah, Wanya Morris, or even if there's some other free agent that you feel maybe a little bit better about that is going to cost about the same as Smith. I don't think
there's a lot of guys that are going to be
probably
as cheap
not.
As Smith was, though.
Probably not. I don't know.
Left tackle?
I don't know what it looks like at that position. I don't think that guy did anything to make his contract worth more this year. He was good.
I think he was solid. I don't think he was horrible.
I don't think he was awesome. He wasn't the worst lineman in the world.
To me, he did exactly what he was supposed to do.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of all the penalties that both of those tackles had, and it's kind of aggravating.
Biggest games of the year, playoffs, they both didn't have penalties.
Yeah, and so I don't. I'm with you. And this is all going to be the case on these kind of guys. It has to be team friendly, but. Yeah, I think it would be.
It was just 1 year, $3 million.
Yeah,
if he's available for 1 year, $3 million, you'd think they can make it work.
Well, yeah, and I think he will be. I don't unless somebody's in desperate need at that spot.
Okay, so now let's talk about the two that are the most talked about, and that is L'Jarius Sneed and Chris Jones. L'Jarius Sneed should have been a Pro Bowler, All Pro. He's an amazing. He had a great year, unbelievable year. L'Jarius Sneed, not bad for a fourth round pick by the Chiefs organization. Chris Jones, second round pick, turned out pretty good. They're both free agents, or will be. L'Jarius Sneed, if the Chiefs tagged him, a lot of people said the Chiefs need to tag Sneed and then sign Jones long term. That's what a lot of people say. Let's go one by one. Sneed, if you tagged him, is $18 million. $18.4 million if you tag him. I do think that is a possibility. Okay? Now, that counts, I believe, all of that counts against your cap since it's a tag. Chris Jones, if you tagged him, is $32 million. By the way, the Chiefs picked up what they did the other day, so he got his money from this current little short contract they reworked before the season, Chris Jones. Chris Jones, if you tagged him, $32 million. Is the tag, and there's no way in heck that Chiefs are tagging at $32 million. So I think realistically, what Brett Veach would love to do if he could make it work is tag Sneed, and then work out a deal with Jones, a 3 or 4 year deal. You backload it, you give him his signing bonus, you guarantee so much of this contract, whatever. Which if you're going to do a 4 year deal, it's going to be 4 years. And you're probably looking at $130 million, maybe 3 years for $100. He's going to want a multi-year deal, which I don't blame him. So you're looking probably a minimum 3 years, $100 million, and I might be shooting low here. But you, by doing this, not tagging him, you can make it to where you don't get hit by all of this with Jones in the upcoming season where you're going for a three-peat. There, it is. I bet you it would blow your mind. You know, accounting seems easy. It's a whole bunch of numbers. But once you get into accounting, I studied in college and I didn't do so well. I'm like, okay, that's not my minor. I was going to minor in accounting, major in communications and broadcasting. Yeah, I kicked that to the curb in a hurry. It wasn't easy as I thought. The salary cap stuff, I think, would blow your mind if you sat in with these people talking about, because they got people specifically designed to look at and navigate the salary cap.
Yeah.
That work for Brett Veach and the Chiefs. It ain't Brett Veach doing all the salary cap work. They've got specific people.
Yeah.
And they're very good at it. So with Jones's contract, they can be creative in various ways that will give them some flexibility. So people get caught up in, oh my God, $100 million, or it's going to take 4 years, $130 million, or whatever it may be. It will eventually hurt you. It will. But you can kind of kick the can down the road like our politicians in Washington do with the government shutdown, which, by the way, on a side note, it's nice to know that our politicians have taken a 13-day recess and come back 2 days before a government shutdown. Glad they take things seriously. But anywho, back to regular sports. You have some flexibility within the contract that you can set up with Chris Jones. Would he take a slight discount? I think it's a possibility to take a slight discount, but not a big one. L'Jarius Sneed, I don't think you sign him to a big long-term deal. Here's a couple reasons. One, he's had a few concussions in his career, okay? Two, the Chiefs have a lot of rangy corners, and they have a shutdown corner, McDuffie, and they can address it in the draft and find probably another guy. The Chiefs have, they are more equipped to overcome L'Jarius Sneed leaving than they are Chris Jones leaving. I don't think there's really major doubt about that.
No.
And I don't want to undervalue and underestimate what L'Jarius Sneed did this year. He was absolutely fantastic. And his play against the Ravens may have very well saved the season, knocking the ball out of Zay Flowers' hands at the one. I love L'Jarius Sneed. I love how physical he is. And he was outstanding. But I think a guy like Sneed is easier to replace, even though he was outstanding. I think he's easier to replace than Chris Jones. And so the question I put on the Facebook Sports Ticket Tease last night was, here are the parameters of this game. You can only sign one. Now, you could choose to sign neither, but you can only sign one. Is it Sneed or Jones? You can't have both. I guess you could choose to walk from both. But you can't sign both. You have to choose one or the other. And I think that may end up being what the Chiefs have to end up doing, especially depending on how much they value, how much they got to pay for a Tommy Townsend, a Drew Tranquil.
Uh-huh.
That's really the other ones, I guess. The others, I think we said they could probably get by without. But you also, you want to have money to address your wide receiver room. I think people are very, very clear about that. And the Chiefs will address it. Trust me on that. So you have to choose one, Jones or Sneed.
Listen, who I want is Jones. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not even, because of the fact that there is a deeper room there in the secondary, obviously. We talk Chris Jones, whether he's getting 9.5 sacks or 14.5 sacks in a season is still contributing to the sacks of George Karloftis and maybe Felix moving forward. And I mean, there's just so much more that he does that doesn't go noticed, right? Like that they don't, the people don't pay attention to. If I had to choose who I want, it's Chris Jones.
Right.
I know financially you got to make all that work, right? But if I'm prioritizing and say, hey, I'm going to go spend money.
Mm-hmm.
It's Chris Jones for me.
I agree. L'Jarius Sneed, there's some projections here, would get about a 4-year, $65 million deal on the free agent market. So that's about $16 million a year. You could tag him. You'd have him for a year at $18 million, and then you got to deal with this again a year from now. So, and this is how I felt about the Chiefs. And the Chiefs, if you go back and look at what they've done here over the last probably 5 to 10 years, always pay attention to who they draft in their early rounds.
Yeah, for sure.
Because to me, that shows you who they believe is going to be a really good player for them, but they're already got a plan in place to replace that guy so they can slide in the rookie contract of this guy to replace a guy that they know is probably going to cost too much for them to keep the band together. Yeah. And if you look at what the Chiefs have done over the years, that is so very true. And they went up and got McDuffie a couple years ago. Do they have two shutdown corners? Yeah, Snead and McDuffie are shutdown corners. And without both of them, it makes it tougher to win the Super Bowl. At the same time, if you have a younger guy that you draft this upcoming draft, or maybe Joshua Williams slides into that role, or Jalen Watson slides into the role that Snead does, and they're both tall, rangy corners, okay? You got a young secondary. You're not spending a lot of money in the back end of that defense other than Justin Reed. And you've got young rookie contract players with Connor and Cook at safety. Like I said, I think they could let Edwards walk, but maybe they sign him to a cheap deal. And your corners are young. You got Jalen Watson, you got Joshua Williams, you got Trent McDuffie. So the Chiefs are honestly fairly equipped to plug some different guys in Snead's role. Will they be as good at it as Snead? Probably not, but if they are 80% of what Snead was on a rookie deal compared to getting 100% of Snead at $65 million over 4 years, the answer is pretty obvious what the Chiefs should do. And that ties in with Chris Jones. Because if you walk from L'Jarius Snead, you don't tag him for $18 million, or you let him walk as a free agent. I don't know if they get a compensation pick on that or not. I know they do if they let Jones walk. Then you have more money now set aside to give Chris Jones an extension and sign him to a 3 or 4 year deal. So Jones will cost more money overall, no question. But a dominant defensive tackle is harder to find than a tall, rangy corner. That's
absolutely
just true.
Yeah.
And to make it easier for the Chiefs is they already have an all-pro corner in Trent McDuffie. That makes it easier. Now, if the Chiefs had Steven Nelson still, or, God, who was the horrible? Oh, William Bartee back in the day. Dear God, he was horrible. Sorry, Todd, he was a Sooner. That's why he was so bad. That's a joke. But
that is not a joke.
Okay.
Oh.
So, Dusty's wearing the purple. So, Steven, if you had Steven Nelson and William Bartee, or you have one of those guys as your one of your top corners, okay, but you didn't have a shutdown corner at all, Snead was your only shutdown corner, then this decision is way more difficult. So I think, to me, and I've said for a long time, I even said when Jones got his last big deal that I thought at the time it was a mistake. Well, Chris Jones has actually played it better, in my opinion, during this last deal and came up big in big moments compared to prior to his four-year deal, that I have changed my tune a little bit on this, and that is I've seen how many plays that he doesn't get to the quarterback, but it saves touchdowns.
Yeah.
I've seen a ton of them. There was one in the Super Bowl. There was one against the Ravens. There was the Bills one at the end when they stopped him and they missed the field goal. He saved a touchdown there that would have probably won the game. So Chris Jones is worth more than just the sack numbers. And we've talked about this before. He commands double teams, and that frees up a Karlaftis or Felix Uzama when he plays next year. It'll make it easier for the second-year player out of K-State.
Yeah.
It makes it easier for Bolton and Tranquil, if you bring back Tranquil, to where you don't have linemen, you know, blocking your linebackers. They're freed up because Jones is taking on two would-be blockers. Jones make the tackle? Does he make the sack on that play? No, but he frees up your DN one-on-one off the edge like Karlaftis. It frees up Bolton a little bit more, or Tranquil, whoever the linebacker, middle backers are. Or if you bring a blitz, there's so many things you can't quantify that Chris Jones brings to the table. Now, if there were a whole bunch of really good, promising defensive tackles in this draft, then maybe you would say, I think we can take our chances, let Jones walk. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they won't let them both go. I think there is a scenario where Chris Jones asked for $38 million a year. The Chiefs are like, see you later, buddy. We didn't give Tyreek 30. We ain't giving you 38. And you're older than Tyreek at the time he wanted his money. So But the Chiefs have proven, well, we can replace Tyreek Hill with a whole bunch of different people. And that's something the Chiefs could say to the agent. Like, listen, we know that he wants a lot of money. We also know he's about to turn 30. We also know he's had a lot of wear and tear on his body, which we appreciate everything he puts forward like he did in the Super Bowl. And we saw Andy, he loves him, and he jumped on top of him after the Super Bowl. And there, that relationship does mean something. From what I've read, Chris Jones really wants to keep playing for Andy Reid. So perhaps Jones will not demand way over market value. Maybe he will slide into the $30 to $35 million and make it work. I don't think he's going to come off what he was wanting prior to this year. So I think what I've heard is 32 minimum. So 32 to 35 million a year, somehow they make it work. It's possible. But if he and his agents didn't exactly do him any favors this past year, so maybe his agents will screw this up too. And they'll say, you should get 40. And the Chiefs will be like, see you later, buddy. So it'll be interesting how negotiations go. But I'm with you. If you have to choose between Snead or Jones, Jones would be the choice, mainly because, even though Snead is younger, and technically, obviously, Snead will command less money overall, long-term, than Jones. That's a fact. However, the Chiefs are more equipped to replace Jadarius Snead than Chris Jones. And there are, you can throw more numbers at the cornerback position, in my opinion, than a defensive tackle who can both, you know, defend the run decently, take on double teams, and pressure the quarterback. You don't get that from very many guys in the middle of a defensive interior line. So I'm with you. I would choose Jones. Am I super giddy if they give him a four-year, $130 million deal? I'm going to be a little bit worried. Mm-hmm. I will be. But from a team perspective and the way they're sitting right now, and how he has performed in some big games here the last few years with his most recent long-term deal, that four-year, $80 million deal, I have come around to say I'm way more open to him getting, it sounds crazy, when he's almost 30 compared to when he was 26. But he hadn't, to me, proven as much as he has now. He has stayed pretty healthy, knock on wood. So I would be comfortable enough to go with Jones and not Snead. I will say there is a part of me that would be comfortable if they both aren't back, and then that creates a whole bunch of opportunity for the Chiefs to address the wide receiver room. It allows the Chiefs to maybe get a left tackle if they don't think Morris is the guy. If they want to go, maybe they need a couple wide receivers. I still think they don't need a number one. They just need to go get a couple twos, and that's going to cost some money. And who knows what guys will be available to them in the draft when they draft to fill some of their needs. But I have no problem if they went the way of the Tyreek Hill deal. The only difference is you're not trading Chris Jones, I don't think. And if you do, you're not getting what you got back for Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
And the other question you got to have here if you're Chris Jones and the Kansas City Chiefs as well, on both sides of the negotiating table, the Katz brothers, I think, is his agent, or agents. Do you think Chris Jones, at the age of almost 30, with a lot of wear and tear going deep 5 years, 6 years in a row, do you think on the open market Chris Jones would get $35 million a year? Because I have a few doubts about that. Which, if that's the case, the Chiefs could almost call the bluff a little bit. Although, granted, once they're done with everything, then they ain't going to be able to bring him back. I don't believe. I think once they have to negotiate to a certain window and then they say okay, and then they get a compensation pick, which I think would be a third-round pick. I have to double-check all that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, is that something that factors in this equation? I mean, are there a lot of I guess it only takes one. It only takes one other team to say, Chris Jones, we'll give you $36 million a year for four. How does Chris Jones turn that down if the Chiefs say we're giving you 32? That would be the discount we're talking about. That's a significant discount. That's over 10% discount. Well, it's only $4 million. No, do the math. It's over 10%.
Yeah, it's
significant.
It's $16 million. Because if you sign a four-year deal, right? Like, it's $16 million leaving on the table
there.
That's
exactly right.
And so,
assuming it's all guaranteed, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a team that would give Chris Jones more than $35 million?
I don't know who it would be, but I think somebody would.
Okay.
Like you said, it only takes one. And if there's somebody that thinks that their defense is just one dude away that can just wreck havoc and wreck an entire game.
Yeah.
That Chris Jones and Aaron Donald are the two guys right now, right?
Yes.
At that position in this league. And if you can get that, people are going to overpay for that. I think age-wise, even with that, I think people are going to overpay for it if they can get it and have it and have somebody that can just make life easier for everybody else.
I agree.
So I don't think there's going to be a long list of teams lining up to do it, but I think somebody would if given the opportunity.
Okay, so in order for somebody to go out there and offer more than what the Chiefs may offer Chris Jones, it has to be a team that has some cap space.
For sure, yeah.
Okay, the Chiefs right now are right in the middle of the pack, which is really pretty good. They're almost $24 million in cap space right now. They're 17th out of 32 teams, so that's not bad. The Broncos are in deep trouble, which makes me laugh. The Chargers are in trouble. The Dolphins are in trouble. The Bills, as I said, are in trouble. The Saints are in the worst spot, which is interesting to me. The Commanders have the most money. They have $83 million in cap space. The Commanders would be a team that I don't think is that close to doing anything. So would it make sense for them to sign a 30-year-old guy to put him over the hump? I don't think so.
No.
The New England Patriots are a ways away. They have a new coach. They have $73 million in space. The Tennessee Titans have $72 million in space. They're an interesting team. They're going to walk away, it looks like, from Derrick Henry. They have a young quarterback in Will Levis, but I don't think they think they're that close. So I would say probably not.
Yeah.
Okay, the Bears are interesting because they have a ton of cap space. They got a whole bunch. They got two top 10 picks. They could go ahead and draft Caleb Williams and trade Justin Fields and get some draft capital. And they're a team that has a decent defense. You put Chris Jones in the middle, the Bears could be pretty dominant defense. Maybe that makes some sense. Here's one that might surprise you. The Texans have $62 million in cap space. Now that would be a team that if they think they're close enough, I'd hate to see that.
Yeah.
I'd hate to see him go in the AFC. The Colts have $61 million in space, and Chris Ballard is over there, the GM, familiar with the Chiefs. And who else we got? The Bengals have 60... Oh, please, Chris Jones, don't go to the Bengals. The Bengals, though, have to re-sign one of their two receivers, Higgins or Boyd, or go get another guy. Some people say Mike Evans might be that guy. The Bengals have $61 million in cap space. How about the Detroit Lions? $48 million in cap space. I don't know all the guys they got to re-sign. You put Chris Jones with Aiden Hutchinson?
Ooh. That'd be pretty attractive.
And I'm okay. If Jones is going to leave the Chiefs, send him to the NFC. Now watch. The Lions will meet the Chiefs in the Super Bowl and go against Chris Jones. The Raiders have $39 million. The Cardinals, $39 million. So what I'm trying to say is I don't think there's a lot of teams that are going to be able to give Jones what he wants. At the same time, you don't need a lot of teams to give him what he wants. All you need is one. And you would think there would be one out of that list. I would say, for me, I would say Bears, Texans, Colts, Lions, maybe the Bengals would have some interest and have the money to do it.
Yeah, and you're looking at a deal there where it's also, you know, this is where the cap stands right now. We haven't gotten to that part where, you know, there's cap casualties, right? People are talking about that could be the case with Tyler Lockett in Seattle, right? So what you do is you turn a $16 million cap hit into a $4 million dead cap hit, right? Like you're freeing up $12 million there. Yeah. Teams are going to start doing that too, and that's not, we're not at that part yet.
Right.
And so, you know, there might be a team, Seattle, just use that as an example, right? Yeah. Like, let's say they walk from Tyler Lockett. I don't know.
They're negative $1.5 million right now.
Yeah,
so they clearly got to do stuff. The Broncos, they say, I probably have to get rid of some receivers.
And just to maybe go get a guy.
Right.
And so we haven't got to that point yet. But of the teams that are up there right now, I mean, Houston and Detroit look like two that would be possibilities there if they wanted to spend the money. Like I said, with teams that feel like they're at the point where they need to be to win.
Yeah.
And you just you never know what's going to happen down the road. But I think there's plenty of teams that if they had that opportunity would want to do it, but then there's probably maybe two or three that are going to actually have the means and the capability to actually do it. And so I feel like somebody would.
This is where Chris Jones hopefully won't get messed up by his agents, because the agents messed this up before, and if it happens again, he should fire him before it does happen again. Because, you know, if they overplay their hand here, it could end up hurting, obviously, Chris Jones. And I think they already did that once.
Yeah.
The Chiefs, by the way, I said they're 17th in available cap space out of 32. That's not too bad for a team with a big cap hit with your quarterback. And granted, that would change if you sign Jones or if you sign Snead. But do you know the average age of the Chiefs roster? Do you know where it ranks? This is the back-to-back Super Bowl champion. So clearly they're aging and over the hill and about ready to blow it up, right? Do you know what the do you know where the Chiefs rank in average age on their roster out of 32 teams?
I'd say like eight.
You mean eighth youngest?
Eighth youngest, yeah.
They're the third youngest.
Third.
The only teams younger on their roster, the Packers, which is no surprise, and the Titans.
Yeah, but the defense is obviously very young for the Chiefs. Right. I mean, that's pretty clear.
And they'll get younger if Chris Jones leaves.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these are tough decisions. And we as Chiefs fans like to easily say, well, give Jones his money, let Snead walk, or tag Snead and give Jones his money, okay, and get a big-time wide receiver. Wait a minute. If Snead's going to count $18 million against the cap, and Jones is going to have a number against the cap, and Mahomes' number goes up with each and every year, and you've already reworked a lot of contracts, how are you going to afford Michael Pittman or T. Higgins or Mike Evans?
Yeah.
Okay? Tyler Lockett is one that has been thrown out there that could be a casualty, as you mentioned, with Seattle. And I think Tyler Lockett would be a perfect fit for the Chiefs because, one, I don't think he'd cost a ton of money. I think he would be obviously open to playing with Patrick Mahomes. I think he has a few years left in the tank. He's sure-handed. He's had some injuries here lately. But I think that's – see, this is where I'm at with the Chiefs. So there are people that are just dead set on they got to have a number one, and we've already talked about it and printed this into the facts. The last time they had a one, they didn't even make the Super Bowl. The last 2 years, they haven't had a one. This year, you could argue didn't have a two until the last eight games of the year, and they still won the Super Bowl back-to-back years. And if you let Snead walk or if you let Jones walk or both or one of them, will you get a little worse on defense? Perhaps. There might be guys that step up and do almost as good as Snead, possibly. Or you get a stud in the draft that fills a role for your defense. Maybe it's another pass rusher. And next thing you know, you got Karloftis and another guy. And then you can't double Jones as much. And you become a dominant defense and Bolton Tranquil in the middle. And you got the young secondary. But a guy like Tyler Lockett doesn't break the bank. He's an experienced guy. I think he could catch on to the system very quickly. I know a lot of guys struggle with Andy Reid's system at times. Although Rice caught on to it fairly good for a rookie. That's the type of guy I'm looking for. Like, would I love to have Michael Pittman? Yes, but he's going to cost a ton. T. Higgins, I think he's going to cost too much money, and he was hurt this year. I'm not a big T. Higgins. We got to go get that guy. I think he's the flavor of the month like DeAndre Hopkins was and OBJ. I'm going to pass on T. Higgins, okay? But Mike Evans, I like Mike Evans, and he's not a lot. He's not as old as some people think he is. And so he'd be a tall receiver. I like it. How much he would cost, I don't know. He is a number one, maybe getting to the back end of his career. However, if the Chiefs could go get a Tyler Lockett and a Hunter Renfrow, Hunter Renfrow might be available for the Raiders. The Lockett can still stretch the field some. Maybe Renfrow and Lockett be too similar now. I don't know. But that's an example of not number ones anymore that are still good players. If you gave me Hunter Renfrow and Tyler Lockett and you kick Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney to the curb, I think that's a significant upgrade. And now you have and here, by the way, you could cut MBS too. You can save money if you let MBS go. Now, I'm okay if you keep MBS if you can afford it. But to me, if you had a wide receiver room of Rashee Rice, Tyler Lockett, Hunter Renfrow, and MBS, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
That's not bad. I mean, that I would argue that's just as good as when they won it, not this year, but the year before, Juju.
Yeah.
So, and even if you let MVS walk, maybe Justin Watson's your fourth.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that, too. And you still have Justin Ross on the roster, might develop and be that guy that you can slide in if there's a few injuries. If you have Hardman back, you've got insurance there. I mean, there are ways for the Chiefs to do this. I just don't see the scenario where you keep Jones and give him a big deal and go get a top flight number one. I don't see the combination working financially.
No.
Because I think there's other areas that the Chiefs want to improve upon, and they know as well as anybody how they did when they let Hill walk and they traded him. So, yeah, we might keep Jones, but we can't also do Snead, or we'll do Snead, but we'll let Jones walk. And by the way, the Eagles are projected to be a team that would be interested in Snead, 4 years, $65 million. So whatever the case may be, he's going to have plenty of interest. I would argue there'll be more teams more interested in Legarius Snead than Chris Jones because of the age and the price tag's a little bit lower. and not some teams don't have any shutdown corners. The Chiefs have kind of two. They can afford to lose one. But I don't think the Chiefs have to go all crazy spending a ton of money. And I don't think they need to do what they did after the Super Bowl when they got beat with backup left and right tackle and get five new offensive line starters. I don't think they got to go quite that far.
Yeah.
I don't think they have to blow out everybody in the wide receiver room. I think Justin Watson can still be a serviceable player. I think MVS can be a serviceable player. The problem is MVS is like your number two receiver now. He's your four. If he's your four, no problem. Okay? If Sky Moore is your four, I can live with it. But they can't be your two and your three.
No.
That's my opinion. So you get a Tyler Lockett. You go ahead and Rashee Rice has the capability of being a one. Okay, he's a one. He might not be a top flight one, but he's a solid. He's your one.
Yeah.
Okay? And your number one is Kelsey. Let's quit ignoring that. But then you got Rashee Rice. Then you get a Tyler Lockett. He becomes your two. Hunter Renfrow is a solid pass catcher, possession guy, third down guy. He kind of replaces the juju that you really didn't have this year. That's your third guy, maybe, and MVS is your fourth, or Justin Watson. I'd sign up for that.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of other guys that are available, by the way, wide receiver. There are a lot of free agent receivers. And as you said, there are going to be other guys. I mean, they might pick up one of these Bronco receivers if they cut bait with them.
Yeah, and
Cortland Sutton,
don't forget about
Judy.
That Drew Tranquil factor of, hey, I played against this team, and I see what they do, and I want to be part of that.
That's right.
And I want to win.
That's right.
Coming from the Chargers, and you know the text that he said he got from Andy Reid. He's like, think red.
Super Bowl red. Yeah.
And, I mean, yeah, you can't discount those kind of guys that might want to come and play with this team, even if it is a Hunter Renfrow from the Raiders, right? Like, maybe he wants to come in and do that with the Chiefs. And, I would be overly giddy about Tyler Lockett being on this team. You know what I mean? Like, he's smart. I don't think he would have a problem picking up the offense.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the same Tyler Lockett as he was 5 years ago. I don't think there's any question about that. But he can do a lot of different things in an Andy Reid offense. I can promise you that.
Absolutely.
And so that would be a lot of fun to have him if he does in fact get cut. And like I say, he's not a free agent yet. So we got to wait and see till that happens. But it sounds like it's probably going to end up being the case. But I'm not buying into it, and just like you never have bought into it, that the Chiefs need to go get a one here in the offseason that's called a number one wide receiver, right?
Yes.
And so I'm not into that. I would much rather have them tag Legarius Sneed and sign Chris Jones than go find a number one, right, and spend that
money.
No,
I get that.
I think that's way more of an issue, an important thing for this team. If they could make that work and have both of those guys back on the defense, then the money doesn't mean anything to go get a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to save it for that,
right,
that's not the way to go.
No, I understand that. I agree with that, too. By the way, Hunter Renfrow report is that he's expected to be released by the Raiders. They're looking for a trade for him. Now, this year, he only had 25 catches for 255 yards. He's only 28. Just a couple years ago, he had 103 catches for 1,000 yards. Now, you got to remember who the quarterbacks. Carr got benched last year. He had Aiden O'Donnell, or he had Garoppolo, and he had Josh McDaniels as the head coach, so that hurt Hunter Renfrow right there. So I know his numbers don't blow you away. What's funny is his numbers are still better than MVS with only 25 catches and 255. He didn't have any touchdowns this year. So that one doesn't look as sexy on paper as maybe I was thinking. But Tyler Lockett this year, he's 31, so he's older. Renfrow's 28, Renfrow a little taller. Lockett's 5'10", as we know, 31. Lockett, he'll be 32 this year. Lockett this year had 79 catches, 894 yards, 11 yards a catch, and 5 touchdowns. Now, that'll play.
He's not washed.
He's not washed. He's
just not the same as he was.
He's not as dominant as he was. And he also became the two when Metcalf rose to be as good as he is. So, you know, to me, Tyler Lockett would be a terrific guy for the Chiefs to get. And it could be a good mentor for Rashee Rice or even help a Sky Moore. Seriously, he might be able to help a Sky Moore.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Tyler Lockett doesn't have blazing speed. You know, Sky Moore doesn't have blazing speed. I mean, I could see some similarities between those two in regards to their physique a little bit. And sometimes you just maybe need a guy to, you know, sometimes guys aren't great the first year or two in the league, but then eventually they figure it out. Sky Moore still might be that guy. I'm not giving up on Sky Moore. I don't think he's a game breaker. I don't think he's going to be a star in this league. But I think if he was given the right tutelage and he came around, I think he could be a, you know, a number three in this league maybe. I don't think he's a one or a two. But Tyler Lockett, to me, would be the guy I would be all about. Now, maybe we're being, we have, you know, purple vision here because he's a K-Stater. And maybe that blinds us from what we should be seeing. Maybe we're missing that Tyler Lockett really started to fall off at the end of this year. And he's getting slower and he's and injuries are starting to catch up to him. I mean, the Seahawks know better than we would about that. But the, of course, if he goes to the Chiefs, he probably isn't going to make as much money as he was going to make with the Seahawks. And, of course, they'd cut him to help against the cap. But I do think Tyler Lockett would be a terrific pickup. And I don't think the Chiefs got to go get a T. Higgins or a Mike Evans or a Michael Pittman Jr. Okay? I don't think they got to do that. If you get you pick up a Tyler Lockett and then find another serviceable number two or three, hey, man, that's not bad.
Yeah.
And he will turn 32 this year. The Seahawks could designate him as a post-June 1 cut and save $17 million. So that is a guy that you could keep an eye on. He has been super consistent. The biggest hurdle for the Chiefs picking up a guy like Lockett would be the cap. Lockett could probably draw around $11 million per year on the open market. Guess what MVS makes? 11.
11, yeah.
Cut MVS, bring in Tyler Lockett, sign me up. Sign me up. I still think the Chiefs would need one more receiver. If you let MVS go, you got Rice, you got Lockett, assume you sign him.
I mean, if Renfro didn't have a blow-up year, right, maybe you can get him for a better deal than what you and I would take that, right?
Yeah,
like
me
if
too.
You can get Hunter Renfro put two Hunter Renfros in Kansas City, right? The Royals have the baseball
that's
version.
Right.
Let's bring the football version into town, right?
That's right. When I saw that on Twitter, I go, I thought the Royals already got him, you know? I was like, "Oh, wait a minute." And I'm looking at MBS's contract. It nets him $10 million annually on average, but yes, in 2024, MVS is $11.5 million.
Yeah,
this is pretty simple. If Lockett, if they say what they're saying is correct, and Lockett would be about $11 million a year, and that's a projection. He may get 15 from somebody else and not go to the Chiefs. But if I'm the Chiefs, if I can get Lockett on a 1 year $11-12 million deal, I can immediately erase MBS off the books and bring in Lockett to replace him.
Is there a dead hit on like a high dead cap?
Only $2 million.
Okay.
Only $2 million. That's not bad at all. MBS is 30 and Lockett will be 32. So Lockett's about not quite 2 years older than MBS. So anyway, there's some food for thought. You could basically swap those two guys. You get a slightly older, but you get a much better, more productive player.
Yeah.
Not as tall of a target, but how many times have they thrown it deep to MVS and actually caught the ball?
Yeah.
So you're not losing a lot there. And they still have, if they still keep Justin Watson, you still have that target he likes to throw to. I think Lockett makes a ton of sense.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not going to be a long-term deal anyway.
You got to understand that I'm a Chiefs and K-State fan, right? So that looks really attractive to me, right? Just because I know what Tyler, who he is and what he's done. And Kevin played for the Chiefs, exactly. And so the tie-ins there are great. But I think it actually makes sense from a business standpoint and from a production standpoint as well. Like, I can get excited about a guy from K-State or, you know, even from Kansas, right? Anywhere from Kansas going to play for the Chiefs, you can get Blake Bell, right? Like, you get excited about those kind of things. But in the end, you know, Blake Bell also had a dad that played for the Chiefs, coincidentally, right?
Right.
So Tyler would be the same in that aspect. But and when you see that, that's – and then add the fact that they can actually do something that could help this team, it's definitely something that I'm attracted to, would love to see.
Right. And, you know, the other thing we haven't talked about much is Blaine Gabbert, I think, was on a one-year deal. So who's your backup quarterback? They'll have to address that at some point because Mahomes has been very fortunate. This year is probably his healthiest year that he had. He was actually healthy going into the playoffs in the Super Bowl, which was nice for a change. But, and, you know, if Lockett can get a two-year $25 million deal somewhere else, and the Chiefs only offer 1 year, if I'm Lockett, I do what's best for you and your family, but I would probably take the 2-year deal unless you really want to get that ring, which he has won. Doesn't he on the team when they won the first one or not? Was he? I think we talked about this before. Was Tyler Lockett on the Super Bowl winning team?
No, I can't remember. I don't think he was.
He might not have been. So if that's the case, maybe he would.
No,
like,
he wasn't. Okay. He was still at K-State.
I think he was on the team the year after, if I remember looking that up. I think he had just missed the Super Bowl winning team. Maybe it was the year after they should have gave the ball to Lynch and they didn't win back.
It was the year after they should have won.
Right.
Because I'm thinking about all this and processing it in my mind. Now, I remember watching that game in the hospital, and I remember watching Tyler Senior Bowl highlights while I was in the hospital, right, and seeing how he was getting better and all that. So that would have been 2015 was his first year in the NFL.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So lots of things to factor in. I guess at the end of the day, I'm going to not lose any more sleep about this, and I'm going to say – And Veach,
I'm not losing sleep about it. What's beautiful about what Brett Veach has done is like we can discuss these things and say what we would like to see, but it doesn't really matter in the end.
In Veach, we trust, and I'll go back to trying to pulverize my 10-year-old in Madden.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.